Good morning, 7 o'clock. How you doing, Pyle? Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's Wednesday. It's a Wine About It Wednesday. With Talon Winery, you could score a sweet bottle of Talon Wine. Just for complaining, griping, grousing, being irritated, having something stuck in your craw. That's it. Just getting it out. Getting it all out. So text or call us today, 970-242-1340. Thought I'd also throw in a little cute little question of the day today, too. For the heck of it.
Might as well, yeah.
Who is the best week one quarterback in the NFL? Who's the guy that impressed you the most? Maybe that. I'll rephrase the question. Who impressed you the most from week one in the NFL? Which QB went, man, guy looked good. Looked really good. You know, there's a lot of guys you could throw out there, right, that played well. Kyler Murray played great for the Arizona Cardinals. How about Teddy Bridgewater and how good Bridgewater looked? Throw a name out there. Guy that you watched this weekend, you went, guy played well. I thought Jared Goff played really well for Detroit. I thought he looked really good. I'm not saying that the Rams are going to rue the day that they traded him, because Matthew Stafford played really well also.
Mm-hmm.
But give props where props are due to how Jared Goff played. You know, Garoppolo didn't play that bad for San Francisco.
I really know.
He had 314 in that game, I believe. You know, I there's a lot of guys that played well. But I was definitely impressed with Kyler Murray and how he played. And obviously Teddy, what Teddy did. Teddy had one of the better QBRs of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that a little bit. I mean, Murray, 289, four touchdowns going into Tennessee. That was pretty good.
Yeah. And to be honest, I was pretty impressed with how Baker Mayfield played.
Yeah, Baker didn't play bad, and with the exclusion, of course, of the pick late, mm-hmm. but he played really well.
I mean, if the last throw was his worst throw and his worst decision and the worst play of the game for him, but for 59 minutes, he played well enough to beat the Chiefs, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that...
Because that's the question about the Browns.
Right.
What's Baker Mayfield's progression going to look like? And I was okay with it, again, for 59 minutes.
And, like, the Chiefs are still that team that just hasn't gone over the hump yet. Team they have not been able to get over the hump against, the Browns. And so I just think that, you know, you look at that situation. Baker Mayfield, I think he is your guy long term. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't pin all that game on him. They had a 12-point lead.
Right.
I mean, it's always these, the quarterback, Mayfield cost us. Look at that through the play pick. Yeah, a lot of things went into that. It wasn't just Baker Mayfield throwing an interception late.
The Scottish hammer, the punter dropping the snap, that's inexcusable.
Yeah, that hurt.
The secondary still has problems. Now, the Chiefs' weapons are hard to cover. Everybody's going to struggle.
Tough assignments.
But that was not a great performance. Denzel Ward played really well. You know, John Johnson was okay. Hill was, the LSU kids, I don't even remember if Delpitter Williams played. That's how little impact they had in that game. Linebackers weren't great, you know, but they did to an extent give a blueprint on how to beat the Chiefs. Just they can't stop the run, and they have problems covering more than one guy outside of Denzel Ward. So, I mean, I don't know how much blueprint there is, but offensively they seem to give some blueprint because the Chiefs have problems too defensively. They can't stop the run. they don't have a great secondary either. You know, so if you got a decent running game and some talented wide receivers, there's a chance for you against Kansas City. But I think Baker was able to exploit that to an extent. Now, he didn't finish it off. That's going to come back to hurt him, I think, at some point this season, whether it's this replay is in Kansas City in January or something else. That's going to come back to hurt him. But I was impressed with how he played, to get back to the original point. I was impressed with him. And how can you not be impressed with Patrick Mahomes? I mean, that's an AFC contender he scored 3 touchdowns in the last 20 minutes against.
Jameis Winston threw 5 touchdown passes. I get it that he didn't throw for a ton of yardage.
They were all for like 7 yards, but
he threw
five.
He threw 5 touchdowns. It's like they say that bloop single looks like a line drive in the scorebook.
Yeah.
They all look like they're 65-yard touchdown passes, right?
He had more touchdown passes than the Packers had points scored. Yeah.
But back to Teddy. I'm not trying to say Teddy was one of the guys that impressed me the most of the weekend. Certainly, the way Murray played,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to discount Jameis Winston, but even though I just made the comment about, you know, all those touchdown passes look like rockets off the wall, you know.
But
like
it wasn't anything we've not seen from him before.
Yeah, exactly. The fact was he didn't turn it over, and that was the key thing with him.
He only kept the Saints in the game, which is a development.
Which is what he's supposed to do,
right.
Not as opposed to the past when they were playing the Saints in division.
And he'd keep the Saints in the game.
Exactly.
No,
but Teddy Bridgewater here, he had a 95.7 QBR.
Mm-hmm.
That was best week one for QBRs.
Right.
It's also his best single game QBR of his career.
And I think if the question remains most impressed by, Teddy Bridgewater's in that conversation. Was he spectacular?
No.
No.
264 through two touchdowns, but
was he the greatest over the weekend? No,
but he was good.
Impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
I mean, so if it stays as most impressed, then yeah, Teddy Bridgewater's in that conversation.
The guy that most impressed you from the weekend.
And you know me, I've since Teddy Bridgewater came to the Broncos, I've been in favor of him, and I think he's the guy that needs to be the quarterback.
I don't think either one of us have poo-pooed. I thought it was a smart move on George Payton's part to get him. They gave up very little to get him.
Right.
And this could parlay itself into a long-term solution for the Broncos at quarterback.
And even,
once again, assuming that Aaron Rodgers isn't walking through that door. Okay, I talked to a friend of mine yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, I've been reading some stuff online. My friend Chuck's been recovering from knee surgery, so he's had a lot of downtime.
Yep.
All the stuff on the internet about Rodgers trying to tank it. That he's so unhappy with the Packers that's now the narrative about him. That he went out and played like garbage intentionally on Sunday against the Saints because he wants to make the Packers pay. He said he read that. He goes, "What's your take on that?" I'm not buying that. I think Aaron Rodgers is too competitive of a guy.
Mm-hmm.
His own personal pride to go out and play like garbage just to stick it to the Packers. Because who does that ultimately hurt? It hurts him more.
It hurts him. But my question is he more angry, upset with the Packers this year than last? Is he more cranky about the situation now than he was last year when, I don't know, he won the MVP? I don't understand that theory. And you know, I love a good conspiracy theory as much as an expert.
You love it. You roll around in it. You embrace it.
But if Aaron Rodgers is so angry at the Packers now, but he wasn't angry. He was angry. Everybody knew that. It was essentially fact that Aaron Rodgers was so pissed off with the Packers drafting Jordan Love. He went out there and proved them wrong to the tune of 70% completion percentage, 4,300 yards, 48 touchdowns to 5 picks.
And it was the MVP of the league, by the way.
Yeah. Is he more mad this year?
So now
he's tanking it?
So that's the theory for Packers fans. Yeah. Last year he wasn't mad.
Yeah.
And so now he goes out and throws for 133 yards and 2 picks, where he also said, I guess, on McAfee's show, took a shot to the boys on his first pick.
Yeah.
And that that's why he threw the pick, was he took a shot to the land down under. And
physically, emotionally, that hurts.
I'm buying that. Okay, yeah. I'm buying that. He gets popped in the pills. And,
philosophically, that hurts.
Yeah. But this nonsense, like you said, well, then last year should have been the year where you'd be like, okay, I'm going to play like garbage. I don't care. I want out of here. I want you to trade me. And he allegedly was promised to get traded in the offseason, and according to him, it didn't happen. And
Aaron Rodgers would just not show up if he didn't want to be there.
Because he's too competitive of a guy. He's not going to go, I'm going to go out and play intentionally bad to hurt this team. No, he's not. Because all it does is make him look bad. Mm-hmm. Then people ask these questions, right?
Yeah. They're still in first place in the NFC North because everyone else lost too.
But you know, the divisions that are the best in the NFL, the West.
Mm-hmm. The Westesses.
The Westesses. NFC, AFC. All perfect 1-0s to start the season. All right, so the quarterback, I'm going to rephrase the question.
Okay.
The quarterback that impressed you the most this weekend. If you got a couple, that's fine. Kyler Murray going in to Tennessee. I mean, Stafford did what Stafford should do.
Yeah.
Like 331, played really well. He should be that good on that team. Jared Goff impressed me. Teddy impressed me. I mean,
Teddy impressed me.
I get it. It's the Giants, and people are like, oh, it's the Giants. Well, the Giants, that's one of the better parts of their team has been their defense.
Mm-hmm.
And Teddy played great on Sunday. 264, two touchdowns. They went for on fourth down.
Yeah.
Great throw to Cortland Sutton. It was only Cortland's only catch of the day. They got to find a way to get him going more, but they will. I'm not overly concerned about that. But that was a big time throw and a big time catch on fourth down to move the chains.
Mm-hmm.
And Vic believes in him. That's why they did that. You think they're going for it on fourth down with Drew Lock? No.
Not every time. Maybe once.
Maybe once, but not every time. And there was no hesitation in doing that. There's a confidence level they have in Teddy Bridgewater. That's why he's this team's starting quarterback.
TB5 was impressive. Baker. Jalen Hurts was impressive.
Jalen Hurts played really well. Yeah, I have to agree.
What he did in Atlanta.
Who was most disappointing? I mean, Rodgers, obviously. I didn't think Ryan Tannehill played all that well.
I didn't think Josh Allen played all that well.
Yeah, the numbers are a little deceptive.
I mean, he threw for 270 and a touchdown, Josh Allen, but I mean, he's 58% completion. He didn't turn it over.
You know what also impressed me? We'll go back to the Thursday night game. Dak Prescott coming off the injury, the ankle injury.
Yeah. I mean, I think without the injury, I don't know how impressive it is, but his first game back was pretty good.
He threw for 409 in that game.
Yeah, he definitely needed some ice on the plane back.
I mean, what, like 50 some times he threw in that game? Threw for 409. I think it was 409. It was over 400 yards.
403.
403, thank you.
42 of 58.
I was just going off the top of my head. I knew it was over 400 yards.
That's close.
I don't think it was too bad, actually. I just going back to last Thursday. I mean, that's damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Coming off a season, he got hurt, early on in the season? What, fifth game? Early on in the season
somewhere
last
around
year.
There, yeah.
Yeah, that he was shut down. You know, now we'll see how the Broncos can respond with Jerry Jeudy out.
Mm-hmm.
Right now with the high ankle sprain, and those are problematic. They take a while to heal. The hamstring for Ronald Darby, so Patrick Surtain the second will get his first career start against Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
A couple guys that squared off during their college days. So the Broncos are making some moves. Kendall Hinton, the Hall of Fame wristband.
Yes.
Kendall Hinton. And also Hairston, the cornerback. They're activated off the practice squad. We'll get into that more in just a moment. But quarterback that impressed you the most, maybe the guy that was the most disappointing this weekend. Broncos, by the way, let's see, line is still at 6. They're still a 6-point road favorite right now, according to FanDuel. Broncos at Jags on Sunday. All right, 7:15, we have a busy show today. Stuff you want to whine about today. Don't win a bottle of Talon Wine. And somebody's also going to win Qdoba today as well. But which quarterback impressed you the most in week one? Maybe the one that impressed you. Maybe the one that impressed you the least in week one. You can send that our way today on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. Want to thank Vern McGee last night. Had some technical problems. Always tough for even the most veteran of broadcaster. But Vern had never called a game doing play-by-play before and did an outstanding job last night. Appreciate his efforts. And Central's win over Fruit of Monument last night over at Bergman Field. Also, I do want to take a moment before we get to what's happening to send our condolences. I was going to do this yesterday, but I thought I'd wait a day to do it. Brad McLeod, who, of course, we've had in this program many times with the Grand Junction Lions Club. Brad used to do some games with me at different radio stops here in the Valley. I've known Brad since he was in college over at the college radio station. His wife, Jamie, passing away this past weekend. She'd been battling cancer for quite some time. And so our deepest condolences go out to Brad and his boys, the loss of Jamie. She was in charge of the mall for many years. And Brad's just a super outgoing guy, and Jamie was just really quiet and nice. And they were just such a great compliment to each other, and just lovely people, wonderful people. And certainly my heart aches for Brad. Like I said, I've known Brad for a very long time, and Jamie is as well. And so our deepest condolences go out to the McLeods, the loss of Jamie McLeod, losing her battle to cancer. All right, 717. Text or call us today, 970-242-1340. It's time for
What's Happening.
All right, start things out with the Broncos have placed cornerback Ronald Darby and wide receiver Jerry Jeudy on the injured list. Darby has a pulled hamstring, so rookie Patrick Surtain II gets a start Sunday at Jacksonville. Jeudy has a high ankle sprain, so Denver's promoted wide receiver Kendall Hinton and cornerback Nate Hairston from the practice squad. The 1-0 Broncos play at 0-1 Jacksonville Sunday on the Team Sports Network with pregame at 9 with an 11 o'clock kickoff. Trevor Story and Brendan Rodgers hit home runs in the Rockies 5-4 win in Atlanta on Tuesday. Colorado starter John Gray struck out 7 Braves over 5 innings to get his 8th win of the season. The Rockies and Atlanta play again tonight, and the Team Sports Network will have the game with first pitch at 5:20, pregame at 4:40 with Jack Corgan and Mike Rice. According to the Denver Post, the Nuggets and forward Aaron Gordon have agreed on a 4-year, $92 million contract extension. The new deal will keep Gordon in a Denver jersey through the 2025 season. The player option for 2025-2026. Gordon was set to become a free agent after the upcoming season. Paced by Kennedy Viss, the Central softball team defeated Fruit of Monument 2-0 in a Southwestern League matchup under the lights at Bergman Field last night. Viss went the distance for the win, twirling a two-hitter and aiding her own cause with a fourth-inning solo home run. She also ran into some trouble in the top of the seventh, allowing two runners in scoring position, but is able to wiggle off the hook to secure the victory. Warriors coach Aaron Burke says Viss has a history of clutch performances in big games.
Kennedy on the mound, doing the job that we needed to do. She's been doing that, pitching in big games, and we talked to her, all of our kids, about it, but you know, we felt that games like this remind us of last year's Rock Canyon game or the final four games that this upperclassman's been, and I think that speaks to our experience level. Playing under the lights, it's a big thing for these kids, and it's a big rivalry game, but Kennedy did what she needed to do.
Central improved to 10-3 overall, 2-0 in the Southwestern League, while the Wildcats slipped to 5-7 and 0-1. The Warriors face Montrose Thursday. The Wildcats are off until next Tuesday when they play Grand Junction. In other softball games, Delta beat Cedar Edge by the score of 14-9. Prep golfers are on the course in Durango and Steamboat on Tuesday. Montrose golfer Noah Richmond tied for third to lead the Indians to a second-place finish at the Durango Invitational at Dalton Ranch. Fruit of Monument tied for third, with the Wildcats' Cade Hayward tying for ninth at the Steamboat Sailor Invitational. Palisade finished in a fifth-place tie, with the Bulldogs' Alex Morrell finishing 12th. Cedar Edge took 11th, with the Bruins' Brian Harsin placing 10th. The Fruit of Monument volleyball team is 2-0 in the Southwestern League after beating Grand Junction 3-0 Tuesday. The Wildcats' Jillian Buck and Brady Thomason each had 8 kills apiece, with Trinity Hafey adding 13 digs. As Fruita moves to 8-3 overall, the Tigers are 3-9 overall and 0-3 in league play. Fruit is 2-1, by the way. In other scores, Palisade beat Glenwood 3-0. Palisade's Silas Ford found the back of the net 5 times to pace the Bulldogs soccer team to a 9-1 thrashing of Moffitt County Tuesday. Palisade is 3-3 overall. They're now 2-0 in the Western Slope League. In other scores, Fruit of Monument hammered Central 9-0 in boys tennis. Fordham Monmouth blank Central 7-0 as the Wildcats move to 2-1 in the SWL. Colorado Mesa golfer Ellie Walters finished in a tie for second at the Swan Memorial at Thornton. Walters shot the second lowest round of the day to finish 8 over 224 for the tournament. The Mavericks took 7th as a team. The CMU men also finished 7th at the Bob Ritz Invitational at the Bear Creek Golf Course. The Mavs' Yoel Chenin finished in a tie for 15th. Then the Colorado Mesa cycling team took 2nd at the recent USA Cycling Collegiate Track Championships in Indianapolis. CMU won the men's team pursuit, and the Mavs' Ian Anderson won the men's individual Omnium, with Evan Boone taking the flying time trial. And that's...
What's happening?
All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy today, it's a Whine About a Win. So if you got something you want to complain about, do that. Text or call 970-242-1340. You could win a bottle of wine from Talon Winery. They have a Food Truck Friday, by the way, this Friday out at Exit 42, the Talon Winery location.
The next to last one for Food Truck Friday.
Right. It's also, if you were planning on going to the Colorado Wine Fest, well, that's out the window because that got sold out. But there's a lot of events going on leading up to the weekend.
Yep.
At places like Red Fox Cellars and Talon Winery, where you can enjoy Colorado Wine Fest without actually going to Colorado Wine Fest. But Talon Winery Food Truck Friday, this Friday starts at 5:30 out there, so don't miss it. Also, quarterback that impressed you the most from week one in the NFL, maybe the one that impressed you the least or was the most disappointing in how they played. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, if you got a couple that fit into that category, Rodgers would certainly be probably the number one guy when you look back at who had a bad weekend. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. And coming up next, it's homecoming week for the Central Warriors. They take on Grand Junction Friday right here on the Team Sports Network. Warriors coach Brandon Milholland joins us coming up in just a couple of minutes. Text or call us today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The team. Time to get in the huddle with Central coach Brandon Milholland on the team.
And with us, he's the head coach of the Central Warriors football team, Brandon Milholland. Brandon, I appreciate the time. How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you, Jim?
Doing fine. I know that nobody likes moral victories, right? No coach likes to dabble in that. But I tell you what, the way your team played, though, even though you didn't score a point against Boulder Fairview, you got to be thrilled the way your defense held up against one of the better passing attacks in the state. You kept the Knights from throwing a touchdown pass for the first time since September of 2017. You end up losing the game 17-0. But, man, your defense came ready to play last Friday night going on the road to play Boulder Fairview.
Yeah, Jim, no, you're absolutely right about the moral victory deal there. For sure, you know, I think our kids – we're a little down because we lost the game, but at the same time, I think we learned an awful lot from it. The effort, the attitude, the character of our kids was there for sure. And really, the challenge was to try to match them athletically, and just extremely proud of our defense, our defensive coaches, you know, just preparing for their passing game. Again, it was 3-0 with 6 minutes left in the game. So they got two late scores on us there, but, just extremely proud of our kids, athletically as well. Great defensive effort. And we definitely got better, from playing that game.
Warriors head coach Brandon Milholland with us on the Team Sports Network. Jason Sanchez had a pick in the end zone. Your defense came up with two picks against, Kritzer, their quarterback. And what was the approach going? What did you see on film where your DBs were able to maybe find a few cracks in the armor, if you will, against that Boulder Fairview passing game?
Well, I think it's just, you know, an adjustment coaching wise, and then of course the kids went out there and they executed it. But we gave them some different looks where it looked like our safety was maybe going to be down in the box, and then he'd pop out and drop into that deep third area there to rob those crossing routes, and then ended up with one of those interceptions, which is a great play by Jason. And again, just I think overall our secondary really rose to the occasion and just did a phenomenal job on Friday night.
Brandon Milholland, Central Warriors football coach, with us on the Team Sports Network. And from an offensive standpoint, Devin Hickey threw for 83 yards. DJ Winters had 62 yards on the ground. I mentioned you couldn't find the end zone. What were some things that they were doing that they kept you guys from having offensive success last Friday?
Well, I think, you know, maybe a few too many runs in a row type of deal there. We probably should have spread it out and maybe tried to throw the ball a couple of times. We had a drive there out of the halftime there where we took all the time off the clock except for 54 seconds in the third quarter. It was a 20-play drive, and just really proud of the kids for sustaining that drive. And now we just got to learn how to finish. And again, coaching-wise, you know, I'm learning all the time as well. Maybe you got to mix some things up a little bit to try to just keep those kids successful and get that ball in the end zone. So, you know, the word of the week this week is to finish. And let's finish those long drives like that. Just really proud of the kids for their effort on that. And of course, like I said, they packed the box and eventually stopped us on that one.
But I think you have to look, Brandon, the last two games. You win the War Dog Trophy against Palisade. You snap that 10-game losing streak to them. The way your kids traveled to go on the road to take on Boulder Fairview, which did get votes for the Chassa 5A poll this week, that, you want a team to keep building and building. And even though that was a loss for your football team, still a win in a lot of regard. And when you look at building your team's confidence, that's the W on the scoreboard that I think you can kind of hang your hat on a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they're a 5A playoff team. And so here we are just being competitive and being tough and physical and playing the game with everything we've got. And so if we continue down that road, we're definitely headed in the right direction. So just proud of the kids, their effort, their athleticism that they showed up with on Friday night as well.
Central Warriors football coach Brandon Milholland with us on the Team Sports Network, like it was with the Palisade game, the battle for the War Dog Trophy this week. Another, I think, easy game to get your kids up for. The battle against Grand Junction, bragging rights of the city. When you take on the Tigers, look, they're hungry. They have yet to win a football game this season. They're coming off that lopsided loss to Fruto Monument the other night in the black and blue game. So it's homecoming for your football team. So this is a big, big game coming up this Friday night for your squad.
Absolutely it is. Yeah. So I think it's just that rivalry that's been going on for decades, you know. So you don't have to say a whole lot to really get kids fired up to play in this one. They know who they're playing. They probably grew up with a lot of the kids, you know, just across town there. And so they know each other very well. And now it's a matter of getting out there and playing our game and executing and just having fun with it.
I had a chance to do their game with Fruto Monument and Isaiah Biasek, who got the chance to play against Skyline the week before. He was their starting quarterback the other night. I thought made some really good throws. Peyton Brock, who was playing quarterback, now is playing wide receiver. He had some good plays. And Tanner Roerig, I thought, was really had a really good night in regard to their special teams in the kick return game. So there's definitely some bright spots for River Mulvey as well at the fullback spot. There's definitely some bright spots for Landon McKee's team, some players to keep an eye on the offensive side.
Absolutely, yeah. They have some athletes for sure and some playmakers, you know. And so they know what they're doing with those kids. And so we've definitely got to key those kids. We've got to make adjustments to those guys and be prepared to, you know, execute. But again, show our athleticism and grow from what we did this last Friday.
Central football coach Brandon Milholland with us on the Team Sports Network. When you've either watched them in person, Brandon, or looked at the tape defensively, what have you seen from Landon McKee's defense?
You know, I think they're going to be mainly in like a 4-2-5, but they do give us some different looks there. So hopefully we can, you know, establish the run and possibly spread them out and throw the ball a little bit as well. But again, I think they're going to be hungry. They're going to be pumped up, and it's that crosstown rivalry. And so we just have to kind of be prepared for anything and be able to answer the call.
And another losing streak you're looking to snap. I mentioned ending that 10-game losing streak to Palisade. You've lost the last two to Grand Junction, so your kids, I know they have not forgot that as well, looking to bounce back and get their first win in a couple of games.
Absolutely, yeah. The last couple of years, they've had the upper hand on us for sure. And so I think our kids are additionally pumped up for that that challenge and trying to get one on our side of the rivalry this time around, kind of like we did against Palisade. So, again, it's, you know, this isn't one that you really have to do a lot of pump-up speeches or things like that. The kids are going to be ready to play. They know what's at stake here, and it's a great opportunity for us.
Brandon, appreciate the time. We'll have the game Friday night right here on the Team Sports Network. 6 o'clock kick for that one. Pregame at 5 o'clock, and high school football brought to you by Ken Richards State Farm Insurance. Brandon, I appreciate the time. Best of luck against Grand Junction on Friday.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate you, too. Have a good day.
Take care. Brandon Millen, coach of the Central Warriors. That was an impressive effort. I get it, they lost, mm-hmm. okay? But the job they did defensively.
Yeah.
I mean, Fairview, Tom McCartney, that's a program, like I said, that has thrown a touchdown pass in every game since 2017.
Mm-hmm. Put it this way. Those
until last Friday night.
Were eighth graders the last time they didn't throw a touchdown pass.
Exactly. You know, it's a Boulder Fairview team that's just on the outside of the top 10 right now. And Fairview, they also, you know, had a wide receiver that is, I believe, a Nebraska commit as well. So
I mean, it's not really shocking that we're able to hold him down then. That's not very nice.
Grant Page, by the way, is that guy. Come on.
That's Nebraska smack. Just
come on.
Keep that clear.
I know.
It's Nebraska smack.
Still, I checked. There's still a Division I program playing in the Big Ten.
And so's Rutgers, though.
Rutgers is off to a nice start, aren't they?
I don't know.
Greg Schiano's return has been fruitful for them.
But no, I mean, you're right. There are some scores. You look at the scoreboard, you don't really need to dig much deeper, right?
Right.
There are other scores where, yeah, it's what, 14, 17, nothing?
17 to nothing, yeah.
And you're like, well, that doesn't look good. But it's different for some teams, right? Like, that was a very solid effort on Central's part. Because there's some Central teams in the past that game would not have been 17 nothing.
No.
You know, it may have been mid-first quarter, but they have something building there. And you take some lumps, and sometimes you get shut out. But they didn't quit. They didn't let the other team just run around everywhere. They didn't take some of the offensive struggles out to the defensive side of the football, which we've seen teams do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of positives to take out of a game where they didn't score any points.
Yeah, it's disappointing. I know Brandon and his staff are disappointed, but you... that they didn't win the game, but when you look at what they're able to accomplish defensively,
yeah,
at some point they're going to get some short fields, they're going to punch it in the end zone, mm-hmm. and you know, and they're taking on a Grand Junction team that right now is scuffling,
yeah,
looking to try to, you know, get some traction in Landon McKee and his staff's first year at Grand Junction High School.
If you just want to look at improvement from 3 weeks ago to this week. Central's given up 25 points the last two weeks. They gave up 46 week one.
Getting better.
They're getting better.
And that's what you want, right? As a high school football coach, you want your team to get better each and every week. What's always the thing? You always get better from week one to week two.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got better from week one to week two.
Yeah.
And should be an interesting game on Friday night right here on the team. Don't forget, we'll have Palisade Montrose on Thursday night. Coverage at 6, 7 o'clock for that one on the team. All right, 7:38 for the Monument Coach Cam Ross coming up in just a couple of minutes. It's time right now, though, for Soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Buckeye?
Well, I'm very sad that I did not pop in on Manning Cast on Monday Night
I
Football.
Did a little bit. I didn't do as much as I planned on,
Didn't realize they were doing the first game, but they're doing Monday Night Football this week and next week, and you can bet I'm going to be locked in because apparently week one was a massive hit. But much like the first week of any broadcast, there were some issues, including the fire alarm at the New Jersey ESPN studios going off while they were talking to Ray Lewis.
You can get pressure with four, cover two man. Eli, what'd you do? You set the alarm.
Perfect fire alarm.
While we're watching.
Way to go, Eli.
Good job.
Oh, my goodness. Ray, you're the best, man. Thanks for joining us, man. It's been a lot of fun.
Apparently, Peyton and Eli were great, obviously, as brothers. But apparently, brothers. It was really, really well done. And I believe Chuck Barkley was on week one. He's also going to be...
Chuck Barkley was on. I caught a little bit of Chuck Barkley. They're really good. It's different.
Yeah.
It's a different way of watching Monday Night Football. Now, the question is going to be, will this be the way they go ultimately? As opposed to Levy, Greasy, and Lewis Riddick. If they just go, you know what, let's let the Manning brothers, let's just let them do Monday Night Football the way they do Monday Night Football.
I like reading comment sections on articles, right? Because sometimes there's just some bat you know what craziness.
Right.
It was about 75% in favor, but there are still some of the I just want a regular broadcast. So I don't know if this is going to be the way forward, but I think that this might be a way to increase viewership on Monday Night Football.
I think if you look at it this way.
You keep the main broadcast and you have the Manning game.
You have the option of, hey, I want this other presentation, other broadcast. Yeah. I want my content. I want the analysis of the Manning brothers with the guests and what these guys have to think about the game unfolding in front of me.
And some people just don't like the Mannings, like Patriots fans. So,
That's fine. Each to their own. All right, for the Monument Football Coach Cam Ross coming up in a little bit. The Jim Davis Show is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. The biggest game this Sunday is Chiefs versus Ravens. And FanDuel Sportsbook's about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you could end the weekend right by winning $150 in a $5 bet. You got the Chiefs and the Ravens. Ravens trying to bounce back after that overtime loss Monday night. Lamar Jackson turns it over late, and the Raiders make them pay with the Monday night victory. For Kansas City, they were down by 12 against your Brownies there, Buckeye. Come back to get the win against Baker Mayfield and Cleveland. Kansas City, still the team to beat in the AFC right now. And so factor that in when you're looking at this game coming up if you're going to make a bet on FanDuel. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America. Easy to use, safe and secure. You get fast payouts and FanDuel sports betting made simple, and they're always hooking you up with great offers. Plus, when you win, you get paid out in as little as 24 hours. So see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Won a couple bets last weekend on the Iowa State game and the Broncos and the Giants. Cha-ching! You could be cashing in yourself this weekend. Just sign up with the promo code KTMM the Sunday before the Chiefs take on the Ravens. You could win $150 in a $5 bet. Remember to use the promo code KTMM so you know that I sent you, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 older, present Colorado, new users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $150. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
They're a lot of fun.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
Say what?
On Colorado's sports leader, the team. Time to get in the huddle with Fruita Monument coach Cameron Ross on the team.
With us right now, coach of the Wildcats, Cameron Ross. Cam, appreciate the time. How are you doing?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Doing fine. Really solid win for your team last Friday against Grand Junction, the Black and Blue Trophy game, and you retain the Black and Blue Trophy with a 48-7 victory. Corbin Rowell continues to be really impressive in his first year as your starting quarterback. Had that 68-yard pass that set up a touchdown, that ball that he threw to Cole Jones that led to a touchdown. Wyatt Sharp, your fullback, ran for a touchdown. He caught a touchdown pass from Corbin Rowell. Your offense really clicked, but I was really impressed with the way Corbin Rowell in the passing game took advantage of Grand Junction secondary.
Yeah, I think Corbin keeps getting better each week, you know. I didn't have a lot of experience at the JV level last year with a shortened season, so it's been a pleasure to see him kind of grow and mature as a junior quarterback coming in, and he's taken a leadership role in the huddle, and he's actually really progressing as far as getting our passing game going.
I want to get back to Wyatt Sharp for a moment. He had the 40-yard touchdown catch, a little pass out in the flat that he took to the house. He's been a really nice compliment to Armani Trujillo in that backfield.
He has, you know, and as a sophomore kid coming in, he's a big sophomore, and he runs the ball in a big way. You know, Junction, you got to see him catch the ball, make a couple moves, get into the end zone. He runs the ball very well. He actually hurdles a guy in one of his runs, and so he's very good for us, and he's progressing well as a young kid coming in. And, again, just a great kid that you love to see out there getting after it.
Wildcats head football coach Cam Ross joining us today on the Team Sports Network. You as the offensive coordinator, got to give you a tip of the cap, Cam, on the jet sweep call to Luke Shaneman. That was a really nice call on that touchdown run by him.
He did a great job with that. And, you know, I got to give credit. I have Drew Casebeer, who's my offensive coordinator this year, and so he's helping out calling plays. And so he's up in the box. He's able to see things pretty well. And so we work well together, and he called that play. He said it looked like it was going to go, and it did, and it went really well for Peyton. He made a really nice move on a kid and was able to get in the end zone.
I mean, Calvin Nykum also, I thought, did a really nice job at the running back spot for you. Got a touchdown run, and he hasn't really had a chance to get a lot of touches as a running back until that game against Grand Junction. I think those are some of the first touches he's had of the season as a running back, but had a really good touchdown run.
He did. And, you know, really that run that he scored a touchdown on, he got hit about 2 yards after the first run and then got hit again, but kept his legs moving and just wouldn't be taken down. And we really have a big core of running backs that are pretty darn good, and so those guys know that the touches may not be there for them every game, so when they get their opportunity, they take advantage of it. And so I think we saw that on Friday night, a lot of kids running hard just to be able to take advantage of those touches they got.
Fordham Monument football coach Cameron Ross joining us today on the Team Sports Network. Your football team now with a 2-1 record, and Cam, Saturday's matchup against Chatfield, an important one. It's a non-conference game, but Chatfield, a really good football team. They're off to a 3-0 start, a team that the Wildcats saw in the playoffs a few years back. And for Chatfield coming in, Jake Marischal, he has been outstanding at the running back spot, 112 yards per game. With Jake Jones, their quarterback, just a little under 150 yards passing per game. He's been a really good complement with what he's been able to do with the throwing game for the Chargers.
Yeah, Chatfield has a very solid team, and they always seem to have a very solid team. And this is an important game for us. You know, they're a top five team in 4A coming in. When you take a look at RPI points and stuff like that, and we really want to prove ourselves, you know, earn some respect around the state. And their offense, led by Marischal and Jones, are doing a really great job. And then they have a kid, number two, Mason Lowe, is one of the best kids on the field, I think. Very explosive in the passing game, also in the running game. So our defense is going to have to play very well this week against them.
Fordham Monument football coach Cameron Ross with us on the Team Sports Network. Chatfield comes in the Chassanow.com poll, and 4A is the number five team in the state with that 3-0 record. What have you seen on film, Cam, in regard to their defense?
Again, very solid. They've got some guys up front that are very impressive, linebackers that are very impressive. They remind me a lot of us. You know, they want to run the ball and control the line of scrimmage. Their defense is very aggressive. They're about the same size as us, same speed, and so it should be a great matchup. It's just going to come down to who controls the line of scrimmage and who wants to win at the end.
1 o'clock Saturday at Stoker. Fordham Monument takes on Chatfield. Cam, always appreciate the time. Congratulations on retaining the black and blue trophy, and best of luck against Chatfield on Saturday.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Fordham Monument football coach Cameron Ross with us on the program. But, yeah, there's some great play calling. Cam, quick to give Drew Casebeer, Todd Casebeer's son, a lot of credit for the call on the Jets sweep in that game on Friday night. Wyatt Sharp is a sophomore, already a really good football player. I mean, to go along with what they have with Armani Trujillo, Corbin Rowell, watching him throw the football might be Cade Besser was a really good football player, good quarterback, but they might have their best throwing quarterback since Zach Rush. I mean, he throws the ball really, really well. Very, you know, great mechanics, good footwork, accurate, strong arm. It's a nice throw to Cole Jones, who gives him a really good tall, you know, target. And Cole kind of showing the wheels a little bit on that 68-yard completion that got them down inside the five that led to to a touchdown for the Wildcats. So this is a big one on Saturday, though, in terms of measuring where they are in regard to the rest of the 4A ranks. I think, you know, Brett Mertens made the comment the other day, Montrose's coach, about how balanced he thinks the 4A field is this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's right about that. And for Fruitland Monument, you know, they're coming off that tough loss to Montrose previously, bounced back with a big win against Grand Junction, and now another really big test with Chatfield coming in on Saturday over at Stoker. But in 4A, Palmer Ridge, Dakota Ridge, Pine Creek, Montrose, Chatfield, Erie, Loveland, Golden, and Fountain Fort Carson, with Fruitland Monument 10th in the rankings. So that's where the Wildcats, they head into this weekend as the number 10 team in 4A football. All right, text or call us today, 970-242-1340. Got some text. Quarterback that impressed you the most this weekend, one that maybe was the most disappointing. Mike on the text line today, the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line. Rodgers to Denver would be a disaster. I don't think it'd be a disaster.
There's more. He had another text in there talking about Rodgers' leadership.
I have, Mike, I'm with you. I have reasons to be concerned more than I was previously about what's it going to take to keep Aaron Rodgers happy in Denver. He's going to want, from everything I hear, the kind of autonomy that Peyton Manning had.
Right. But the problem is, how long is he going to play? You can't just blindly follow Aaron Rodgers without worrying about the future, and then you're going to find yourself in this situation again. And then is Aaron Rodgers going to bounce from team to team to team to team to team, playing with, he's going to start a Ryan Fitzpatrick type tour of the NFL because you bring in a 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers, but you also need a quarterback for when Aaron Rodgers isn't there. Okay, now I'm angry, so now I'm moving on. And so another team has a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers, and we go through the same thing again.
Yeah, the rest of Mike's text. I will always take leadership over talent for the good of the team and long-term success. Peyton's last year at Denver is a great example. And right now they got a guy in Teddy Bridgewater. Again, it's week one. Sample size really small. They really like Teddy Bridgewater. That locker room has rallied around him. And with Rodgers, I get that they know the reputation, but Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning are two entirely different guys when it comes to how they lead and how they're perceived by people.
Right, and I understand one game playoff, you have to pick a quarterback to win you a game. No one is taking TB5 over Aaron Rodgers. That's not happening. But for the next 5 years of my franchise, can you safely take Aaron Rodgers? I don't know if you can, to be honest.
All right, so Wine About It Wednesday with Talon Wine, our friend Mark Mancuso over at the city. I want to whine about not getting to listen to the show more often. I miss listening to the in-depth coverage of all the Grand Valley sports.
We whine about that, too, your lack of listening.
Mark, that's a nice suck-up text.
That is good.
Let's get some good work, Mark. I don't know. It's some good work. Still time to get your wines in today, 970-242.